When I was a kid, when I first started doing embryo transfer, I was in my mid-20s. And we, right off the bat, we built a clinic, a makeshift one at best, to house donors for our clients and manage those donors for us, which managing donors means getting reference heats, superovulating those cows, heat detecting them, and breeding them for the flush, and then the flush came a week later. And wow, did I ever learn a lot by having my own clinic and managing donors for other people at my place. I was so often accused of being a bad AI technician. Every time we would have a poor flush, a lot of unfertilized eggs, clients said, well, you missed her, didn't you? You didn't AI her right. They really, really rubbed it in because it was a lot of money at stake. And, you know, they weren't happy with those results. So part of the problem is, you know, we talk about cow, 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 but the bull's half the problem. And you saw some of those video clips, and I'll show you just a few more in a minute. You know, sometimes the AI technician can be dealt a dirty hand. And if that semen is not good or if it's dead, he's not going to have much of a choice. So what happens, the thing that got me in early practice is what can you do with frozen semen? How can you handle it, manage it, look at it? I was flushing cows on farm one day, and these people, they were Hereford breeders, and they were talking about there was one straw left in the world of a particular bull. And they were debating about its value and its worth and what they should do with it to get the maximum number of offspring out of that one straw. And about that time, the 12-year-old son came in there carrying that straw of semen. And, you know, of course, it had frost on it and all that. And we all just, you know, went bug-eyed. And as fast as I possibly could, I got that straw and threw it down in a nitrogen tank. That was the beginning of a long journey for me to try to come to grips with understanding, was that damaged? What was wrong with that? Is that something good, something bad? I don't know. I mean, nobody could tell me anything. I did the research on it. I couldn't find anybody that could tell me anything about thermally exposed frozen semen or embryos. Okay, so what we want to try to do today is we want to try to define an industry problem. I'm going to show you, hopefully convince you, that there's a problem out there with it. And I'll show you how I came to grips with understanding that. We're going to briefly review the science of freezing cells. If you understand what's happening when we freeze cells, then I think you can better understand what happens when we expose them to thermal exposures. When we give them thermal exposure, it's easier to understand what's going on. Then we're going to review the science of thermal exposure damage. And then we're going to show those that are commonly seen. We're going to illustrate proper handling techniques, tips for DUR management, DUR, which would be a liquid nitrogen tank. And then we'll debate solutions for handling the problem. So let's define the problem. Okay, literally hundreds of millions of frozen gametes being sperm or embryos or even oocytes or unfertilized eggs, healthy unfertilized eggs, are stored in liquid nitrogen. Multiple species are involved, including man. Okay, and also non-reproductive tissues are also at stake here. But here's the problem as I research this. Here's the problem. There is not an organized curriculum that I know of in the human medical field or in the veterinary field that actually teaches this concept. It's not out there. We don't know. Did anybody here go to school or go to college or graduate school and get any information on this topic? I would dare there's probably very few of us. I know I didn't. I was a graduate of veterinary school and never even discussed it, never even remotely talked about it. Okay, there's many disciplines involved here, and we know how to freeze cells. There's no doubt about that. But do we know how to properly handle them once they've been stored in liquid nitrogen? That's the question. How do we know there are problems within our industry and with respect to thermal exposure? And the U.S. cattle embryo transfer industry, through the American Embryo Transfer Association, we have data to support that assumption. So this was data collected in 2006, and if you look at the black bar on the left, 600,000 total ova, and ova meaning unfertilized, degenerate, and viable embryos, 600,000 were collected. 52% of those were viable, and 34% UFO, and 18% degenerate. So 52% looked like this. 34% were unfertilized and 18% were degenerate. When you add those together, half of all the eggs we recovered were viable embryos. Is that physiological normal? Shouldn't we be better than 50-50 on the percentage of eggs that are viable embryos? Unfertilized ova cost our industry, it's probably immeasurable what the costs are. And there's a lot of reasons for it, and we won't go into all of these reasons, but there's one that we are going to attack, and that's mishandled frozen semen. So that's what we're going to look at. Okay, so I tried to recreate some scenes here that honestly are not abnormal. These are actually normal scenes that we set up, did these photographs with. So this is kind of some of the things I saw over a 25-year period, maybe 30-year period. Question is there anything? Is he doing anything wrong? And if so, what? Can you determine how much damage is being done here, if any? Okay, so we started evaluating frozen semen. And again, I think this is maybe that same video clip. That's what we like to see. This is what we often are dealt with as ET practitioners. And every semen sample here is samples that were to be used for donor cows. We obviously turned this one down. I think there's maybe half a dozen motile sperm in there per entire field of view, and they're just twitching, most of them. So they're headed south. Okay, so what's the problem here? Again, I think we kind of hinted on it a little bit earlier, but the problem with me, I call it cowboy logic, and I'm a cowboy. I work cows every day. Cowboy logic says that if you've got that straw out of liquid nitrogen and it's still, quote, frozen or hard, it's crystallized, everything's fine. He's thinking, well, gosh, if it turns into water, it turns into liquid phase. Yeah, it's a problem. But as long as that thing is frozen, quote, frozen, everything okay? We'll find out that it's not okay. This is another common scene right here. This guy's wiping the frost off of this straw so he can verify that it's the right sire to use for this mating. Okay, but we saw these things, but was there any statistical evidence to more or less prove it? And I think we developed this frozen semen spot test. We looked at concentration, which is yellow, the blue. We looked at motility. There's different modes of motility there. And then we look at morphology. Is it normal or abnormal, or what are the problems associated with it? Then we gave it an overall flush quality rating. If you'll look at the look at the green bar there, an overall flush rating of excellent, good, fair, poor, unacceptable. We didn't evaluate that data for about 20 years, and then we finally looked at it. And if there's a lot of information on this slide, but basically, if you look at this column, semen quality, excellent, good, fair, poor, and go over to the right-hand column, and that's the percent of embryos that were excellent, which would be grade 1s or 2s, 61%, 55, 53, and 33. So I thought the poor quality semen would be worse than that, frankly, but it wasn't. It did a pretty good job. I'm not sure how much of the tail that we understand or how much we see when we look at a microscope evaluation of frozen semen. We see motility, but I don't think we can quite compute how well that's going to work in the cow. So here's some of the things that really hit home for me. Okay, so if you look at the yellow there, that shows where it was shipped from. Was it shipped, the semen that we got, was it shipped from the bull stud where it was collected, or at least being stored, or was it delivered by the owner to the clinic? Okay, so the green up there represents the batch number, the code number, that collection code number for that particular bull, that particular ejaculate. Okay, so we put this data together and we looked at the bull studs. There were 426 shipments. There were 9 classified as unacceptable, which was only 2.1%, as you look under this column here. That's pretty darn good. I would take that. 2.1%. The bull studs were doing a good job. It was the owners that weren't. 314 shipments, 8%. That's 4 times more. If a client that owned the semen brought it or delivered it from his ranch to us, there was a 4 times more chance that we were going to have problems, that it was going to be classified unacceptable. Okay, so here's a little thing that we did that really hits home. Batch number, if you look at this batch number on this bull, the next 3 slides are going to be 3 straws of semen that came out of the same goblet, the same little plastic goblet. All 3 of these straws were in the same one. And this is, if you look up here, you see first straw. Here's the batch code. And there were 0 motility. 100% of the sperm were dead in that straw. If we go look at, and this, remember, was shipped by the owner to us. Okay, so if we look at, this is straw number 2. Same batch code, straw number 2 out of the same goblet. We had some motility there. It was less than 5%, but we had some. So we thawed out another straw. We got greater than 30% motility out of that other straw. That will not happen just randomly. If a bull stud collects a bull, extends it, mixes the sperm, there's not going to be an abnormal number of sperm in one straw versus another. It's going to be consistent. I've looked at probably certainly thousands of straws of semen, and I could verify that. So based on field handling and observations, I think we've got a problem. So let's quickly review the science of freezing cells, and I'm going to show you a little animation here. So this is a typical cell. That's the blue part is water, and if you look at the temperature going to 1 degree, 0 degrees C, which is a freezing point of water, we see that the water molecules crystallize and they expand, and when they do expand, they destroy the little delicate organelles within the cell, the nucleus, the ribosomes, the mitochondria. All of that is destroyed. Now this is just a typical cell, not sperm or egg. It's just a typical cell, and what happens to it when it gets to the freezing point. When the intracellular water freezes, damage is done. Okay, so the primary objective for sperm and embryos both when we freeze is to remove the intracellular water so that those ice crystals don't develop. That they won't develop during the freezing process, because that's what does the damage. Okay, so these are embryo transfer solutions here. These are freeze media, ethylene glycol and glycerol. So what happens is we're going to use glycerol in this example. When an embryo is dropped into a 10% glycerol solution, we're going to show you what happens to it. Okay, so we've got this petri dish with 10% glycerol. Now these cells, these are the blastomeres, as the glycerol's osmotic pressure forces the intracellular water out of the cell, and it causes it to shrink. And it'll eventually get so small that it's like a raisin or a prune. It's just all shriveled up. And the intracellular water is gone, we can drop it in liquid nitrogen. And that's a very simplistic way of describing this. Okay, then And this is all at room temperature. And then the embryo undergoes what's called equilibration. It doesn't like to be shrunken like that. It likes to be at what we call an isotonic state. The cells like to be a certain size. So they fill back up. The water is gone. The glycerol replaces the water. So glycerol's freezing point is different than that of water. And so when all the water, when the embryo gets back to its normal state, then it's ready for the slow cooling process. And the slow cooling process is all you've seen so far happens at room temperature. Then the slow cooling in our freezers, if you will, in our embryo freezers or our semen freezers, we go at a slower rate to dry. There's like 99% of the water is gone from this cell, but we want 100% gone. So the slow cooling gets rid of the final part of that. So I'm going to show you a slide that shows this. Now this is an embryo straw on its side. And as you'll see from left to right, the crystals are coming across that embryo. That column of fluid that the embryo is in is beginning to crystallize now. Okay, and it's further driving what little bit of water is left in that embryo. It's further driving it into the extracellular solution in that straw. So that at some point, it's going to be really shriveled up, and then we're going to drop it in nitrogen, and there's virtually no water left in those cells. See how tiny it's getting there? And I'm going to back that up with a cryomicrophotograph. Dr. Stanley Lebo, who's now deceased, gave me this slide, and I really appreciate that. This is a human oocyte, or an unfertilized egg, and the crystals are growing up around it here, and they're basically pulling the water out of that cell. And down here, you see that it's so shriveled up, it's just like a dry prune, if you will. It's shriveled up. Now we can go to liquid nitrogen with it. And as far as it's speculated that these things can live for thousands of years in liquid nitrogen if they're handled properly and if the nitrogen tank is managed properly. And then in the case of embryos, they're cooled about minus 30 to minus 35 and then plunged into a liquid nitrogen bath. And as long as they stay under that liquid in storage, everything's fine, everything's cool, no pun intended, but everything will live for a long time. Okay, so now what happens so we know how to prepare a cell for freezing. Now what happens when we thermally expose it? Getting close to the take-home message here. And here it is. There's a phenomenon called the glass transition temperature of aqueous solutions or water. So what that means is, and that magic number is about minus 130 degrees Celsius. Bear in mind, zero Celsius is freezing. So this is super, super cold. So what happens? So if you freeze something below minus 130, okay, it goes below minus 130, like into liquid nitrogen, which is minus 196, and you pull it above, let's say you pull your straw above the minus one, you warm up, it's not really warm, but in a technical sense it is, it's minus, let's say you go above minus 130 degrees to minus 120, to minus 100, to minus 50, but then you take that sample and go back beyond minus 130 into liquid nitrogen again, bad things happen. Okay, so think about that a second. What we're doing is we've got something stored at minus 196. We warm it up above minus 130, and then we drop it back into liquid again. Okay, kind of like taking semen out of a cane or a goblet, pulling it out, exposing it, and dropping it back down again. Okay, so I'm going to show you some really cool slides here. Dr. H.T. Merriman, these were done in 1950, believe it or not. Okay, so what he did, and this is a really neat experiment. What Dr. Merriman did, the first slide, the corner slide up here, is he took a metal plate, he put vapor all over it, he dropped it in liquid nitrogen, water vapor, dropped it in liquid nitrogen, And you've heard the term vitrification. That's an ultra rapid freeze, and there's very few crystals formed when something's vitrified. That's essentially what he did. So he took a metal plate, he saturated it with water molecules, he dropped it in liquid nitrogen, and he left it there. And then he shadowed and microphotographed, and there's essentially hardly any crystals in this picture right here. It's just water that's frozen. So here's what he... went too far here. Okay, I'll just leave it there. Okay, so this time he took the same metallic plate, he got water vapor on it, he dropped it into liquid nitrogen, and then he raised it up to minus 96 for 3 minutes, and then he dropped it back down into liquid nitrogen. Then he shattered and microphotographed it, and look how the crystalline pattern has changed from here to here. So in this particular experiment, he put his metal plate, got it vaporized, dropped it in liquid nitrogen. Then he lifted it above at minus 85 for a half a minute, and he dropped it back down. And now you can see that the crystals get even bigger. So what happens? The really ultra tiny microscopic crystals, they essentially thaw, if you will, even at these super cold temperatures, they thaw, they coalesce, and they grow back into larger crystals. So they transform, the crystalline ice transforms from ultra-tiny crystals to really large crystals. And as the exposure gets bigger, and as the exposure gets warmer and longer, look what happens each time. And then this final one, I mean, if you can imagine a sperm being caught up in these rocks, if you will. They literally look like rocks. These are scanning electron micrographs and beautiful images. So you can imagine a sperm tail or even a sperm head getting caught up into this mess. So he concluded that the longer the exposure and the warmer the exposure, the greater the change in the transformation of the ice. Okay, so here's a little thing I did right here. You see my microscope here. You've got a straw of semen laying across this stereo microscope. And I wanted to learn something. I wanted to learn how long it took at room temperature for that straw to become pure liquid. Okay, so that's what I wanted to learn here. And then I wanted to see what happens as it thaws. So we're going to look at this. Okay, so as I pull that out, I just dropped it under the microscope. And here's what it looked like. Okay, now that's the outside of that straw, but I'm telling you the inside of the straw is doing maybe not quite that rapid, but it's doing the same thing. In other words, you're changing your ice crystals, and I'm going to run this at 10x speed, that whole process. So watch what happens to the outside of that frozen semen straw. And imagine what's going on the inside. Now it's liquid finally. Can anybody speculate as to how long that took? So how long does it take for a straw of semen at room temperature sitting there to turn completely liquid? 30 seconds? A minute? 2 minutes? 3 minutes? It's about 3.5 minutes. So you're thinking, you remember the cowboy logic picture, you're talking about 3.5 minutes on that straw to turn. So he thinks he's got that much time to deal with this straw of semen. He doesn't. That's my son, by the way, up on that picture. So